Good evening to everyone. Happy Sunday, a continued blessed Easter to all of you. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Sometimes a little volume can communicate zeal, right? How many of you like it when you come home after being away and your children come up to you and say, "I love you"? You like when your kids run up and say, "I love you," right? You like it when people, it's your birthday, and say, "Happy birthday." Happy birthday, right? It's not bad to be loud in church when you're praying. So you have my permission. Maybe at Father Fasano's Mass or Father Luke's Mass, you got to be quieter. But Christ is risen. Good. He is indeed. And during this Easter season, we continue to meditate on that truth. Christ is truly risen. This is the source of our joy. This is all that we are as Christians, the joy of the victory and love of Jesus Christ. And this time in particular, as much as Lent is a time of repentance from sin so that we are more able to enter into the salvation of Christ, now that we are in the Easter season, and we dwell on this mystery and behold this joy, we are to, because of the resurrection, desire to grow and deepen that faith. And our readings today, you know, if this is the work of the Easter season, the deepening of the faith that comes to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our readings today, I think, and of course the readings throughout the Easter season, help us in doing this important work, examining how God is calling us to grow and deepen our faith. And using Jesus' own example from the gospel, one very familiar probably to all of us, the vine and the branches. And remember, when is Jesus giving this teaching? At the Last Supper. He is speaking about this hours before he goes to the cross. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Go and bear fruit." Jesus' own example, again, hours before he does this culminating work of salvation on the cross, he points out that we are branches. This image, we are made to not just, I guess, survive, we are made to bear fruit, living fruit, and that in order to do that, we must be attached. We must cling to and adhere to God, who is our vine and the source of our life. Without God, we wither and die. That's Jesus' clear example. With him, we live and bear fruit if we choose to cooperate with that grace. Without God, we will wither and die, period. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, I hope I know the answer to this question because you're here, but when given the choice between withering, dying, and burning in hell, I would prefer to live with Jesus. That's just me, but all of us can offer our own response to that. And this is why during the Easter season, we are invited by our risen Lord to examine our faith, to look with honest eyes, aided by the grace of Jesus Christ. Where are we dead? Where are we starting to die? Where and how is rot setting in or starting to spread? Right? We want to know these things because nothing is beyond the mercy of God. It is never too late to start again. He can bring new life always. But first, we have to know where we need to invite the Lord to work. Today, I want to take just two phrases or passages from Jesus' teaching in the gospel and offer two ways, and they're interrelated, two ways that God is calling us to become more dependent upon him, to be more open to the life that he desires to give us, and therefore more able to bear the fruit that he says his Father sent him to do the work in and through us. He said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Right? We should want what God wants for us. And so to do the spiritual work, to dispose ourselves to that, I offer these two thoughts, that we may become more alive. The first passage, again, these are from the gospel. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. Interesting word for Jesus to use. I don't know if you've notice this or pay attention to this, But as I was praying with this gospel, it was something that was coming to me this week as I was just noticing things around. But in our world, in our culture, our communities, our schools, our entertainment, our politics, so much of what we absorb and live in is just drowning in pride. Pride. We as individuals and we as a culture care a lot about ourselves. Too much, quite frankly. We care about what we think. We care about what other people think about us. We care about what other people say about us. We spend tons of time thinking about ourselves, being concerned about ourselves, about our feelings, our opinions, comparing our feelings and our opinions to other people's and why ours are right and theirs are wrong. And oftentimes what's missing in all of this self-concentration? God. God being involved or a standard at all in the midst of this. What has God said about us? What does God think about our opinions? How do our opinions and perspectives and ideas and priorities compare to what he has said and revealed? How has he taught? How do all of the things in my life match up to him? And it is our pride as a world, as a culture, and as individuals that is the source of so much spiritual death that affects people, Christians included. I think many of us think that we can do a lot of things without God. I would go so far, and I'm putting myself in here, I would go so far as to say, many of us would say, I can do most things without God. And only when I come up to something that after I have tried on my own efforts and failed or struggled, then I go to God, right? That's often how we, even as Christians, approach the things in our life. And that is exactly what Jesus said at the Last Supper, didn't he? He said, my friends, you can do most things without me, but when you get into when you're in a bind, now come to me, right? Oh no, wait, the God of the universe said hours before he died, you can do nothing without me. Nothing without me. Jesus is identifying the central role that pride has in destroying us and the central role that humility has in making us who God created us to be in order to have truly Christian life. We often live and think as if we are God. And then Jesus kind of is a consultant along the way, right? And in reality, it is a very heavy burden believing that we have the authority of God. But yet it is something that we cling to. We love it because it gives us permission to do whatever we want. And then the reality of it comes crushing down on us so often, especially when we are weak or when we are experiencing challenges that are beyond us, whether these are challenges of our own making or sufferings that come to us or to those that we love. And if you doubt this, just examine the things of our life and of our world. Look at the laws of our country. Look at the curricula in our schools. Look at the opinions that are so vociferously expressed on the news, in the newspaper, the things that are celebrated in our movies, in our video games, what we're doing and talking about on social media. Ultimately, when you boil all of those things down, God is irrelevant because we are God. Each one of us, we are God. We determine everything. But this was so at the beginning of the human story, and it will be until the end. Pride never leads to happiness. Never. Never, never. Just to death and destruction. So into this, Jesus, again today in the gospel, offers his word, and not just his word, as the letter to St. John says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. I always quote my mother, talk is cheap. You could say whatever you want, but how you live communicates what your faith is in. Talk is cheap. Jesus doesn't just teach, he first gives the example to underlie his teaching. And he teaches and lives the perfect example of humility. Think about this. God himself stepped down from his throne, outside of time, the creator of all, entered into his creation, became a part of his creation and subject to his creation, entered into this world wearied by a pride that rejected him, and stooped to go into that story to pick up the burden of that to pay the price for us. This God, born a little child in poverty, into no-name parents, in an obscure part of the world, 30 years of his life was in the obscurity of the carpenter's workroom, and then eventually shouldering a convict's cross for a crime he did not commit, all of which culminating in the glory of the resurrection, which by so many has been absolutely denied, in order to show us, because God shows us the way. It is only through humility. It is only through humility, letting God be God and knowing who we are as his obedient and grateful children. It is only in this reality that is the necessary way to salvation, happiness, and lasting peace. Heaven can only be found by becoming small, like Christ, abandoning and rejecting pride. If we remember that without God we can do nothing, you should begin every day repeating that line from the Last Supper discourse. God, help me to remember, today and always without you I can do nothing. And if we don't remember that, then we will struggle. But if we remember that without him we can do nothing, we will come to rely on him. I think as Americans, we are afraid to become reliant on anything because we're Americans. But if you don't rely on God, what good are you? Complete dependence on God should be what defines us as Christians. Humility is the key. Humility is the key. But how do we grow in humility? How do we put the without me you can do nothing into actual practice? And I was reading through the lives of the saints and came across some suggestions. And I'm just going to go through a list of some of the things they say that you can do day to day in order to kind of chip away at our attachment to pride and grow in humility practically. So here are some of the things from the saints. Try not to think that what you do or say is better than what others do or say. Don't argue when you're right, and when you are, don't rub it in. Don't give your opinion unless explicitly asked for it. Try not to mention yourself at all in your conversations. Never use yourself as an example, unless asked. Accept corrections without making any excuses. Just accept the correction. Don't seek praise. And when you do get praise, immediately respond, glory be to God, not to me. Try not to be saddened that others get noticed and praised, but you get overlooked. Never refuse to do the most menial task when involved in a situation, like cleaning up or being the last person at an event doing the things like turning off the lights. Begin each day reminding yourself that all that you have and all that you are is on loan from God. It is not yours. Acknowledge that you are unworthy of all honor, all esteem, all praise. You are unworthy even of the ground upon which you tread and the things that you own, because God has given it to you. It's not because you deserve it, but because it is first and always a gift. We need him for everything. So some thoughts from the saints. Now this idea of pride feeds right into the second thought, another way that we grow in the Christian life. Another line from that same gospel. Jesus says, abide in me. And when you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Humility demands that we rely upon God. Rely upon God completely, but not in fear, in love. It's what defines everything we should be as Christians. Love. He calls us to abide in him, to live in him, to be at peace in his arms so that he will guard and guide us. The example of the Good Shepherd from last week, guarding and guiding. But how do we do this? How do we abide in God? And the teachings of the church, The scriptures and the example of the saints are very clear. It is one thing. The abiding in God begins and starts from one thing. Prayer. Prayer. If you are not praying, you do not abide in God. No matter all the other good things that you are doing, to abide with God, we must spend time with Him. Talking to Him, listening to Him, intentionally choosing to be in His presence. Not in general. Just like, I mean, I use this example probably a lot. You don't love your spouse in general. You either get them an anniversary gift or you don't, right? You don't just generally love them. You don't generally feed your kids. You actually feed them. You don't generally go to the doctor. You actually go to the doctor, right? And if that's how we deal with the important things that relate to our relationships, so too it must be with God. Every person in this church, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, every person in this church must be talking to God every day, and not in general or in theory, but be able to point out on your schedule an actual number of minutes that you are only spending with God, an actual number of minutes when you are spending time with God every single day. Otherwise, you are not abiding with God. And he says, and again, this is not my language, you will wither and die spiritually. That is how it works if we are separated from him. Don't choose to bring him into our life. And we know from the catechism, which I know all of you have read, the most essential form and central form of prayer is, and a resounding cry came, the sacraments. This is wonderful. The sacraments, the highest form of prayer for a Christian. Why? Because these are the very rituals and ways by which God has given us to worship and encounter Him. The sacraments, the sacraments. If we don't receive the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, our soul will start to die. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 6, speaking about Himself in the Eucharist, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life within you." Again, his words, not mine, because we must depend upon him. So, questions that I pose to all of you. You don't have to like raise your hands, but respond in your heart. Has everyone here been baptized? Has everyone here been confirmed? Does everyone here regularly go to confession? Does everyone here, at least on a weekly way, come into the presence of our Lord in the Eucharist and receive Him? If you are living with someone who you are romantically involved with, are you married sacramentally to that person? If we are not receiving the sacraments, we are not abiding in this most precious way with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is calling all of us, whatever our relationship with the reception of the sacraments in the life of prayer, Jesus is urgently calling us back. Because without prayer, without the sacraments, our life will be fruitless. Only by being with Him will we bear fruit. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. This is my Heavenly Father's will, that you bear much fruit and be my disciples. So I encourage everyone, but particularly those that for whatever reason either haven't received the sacraments or need to come back to the sacraments, do whatever it takes, brothers and sisters, to return to the sacraments. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You think the work is going to be hard this side of heaven? Try to imagine eternity without Christ because you didn't do the work now. Please hear the urgency of the resurrected Lord. And those of you that are doing that work, persevere. Persevere. Do not be afraid. God never overlooks or undervalues the sacrifices we make to come back home. Keep up the good work. So I end this homily. Now, I told you, you shouldn't be talking a lot about yourself or talking a lot, so I've just talked a lot. So I will grow in humility next weekend. But I end with this. So the two lessons succinctly articulated by two saints. The first lesson from St. Augustine. If you ask me what the essential thing in religion and discipline of Jesus Christ is for a Christian, I reply this way. First, humility. Second, humility. Third, humility. And then about prayer from St. Alphonsus. If you pray, you are sure of saving your soul. If you do not pray, you are just as sure to lose your soul. Praise be Jesus Christ.